Hello.
All right, people, I want to tell you about the sponsors of this wonderful podcast called Verbal Shenanigans. First, I would like to start with good buddies at Wolf Nation.
Ooh.
It's going to be a big year for the old nation.
The nation is growing. Yeah,
that is WULF Nation. Wolf Nation. Wake up, live free.
Listen, of course.
Listen, maybe you missed them for the holidays, okay? Didn't get your kid a shirt, okay? Didn't get your kid a shirt, you're a bad parent. But you could redeem yourself this birthday because, or Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Or
Martin Luther King Day.
Martin Luther King Day or Arbor Day or Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Arr.
Anyway, you can get your kid a Wolf Nation t-shirt, WULF Nation. You know what? Wake up, live free. You're tired of living check to check. You're tired of being part of the big matrix that we do every day. Just be yourself and wolf it. Okay.
And simply put, it's a lifestyle that everybody wants to be with, and it's a style of clothing that shows it.
That is correct. So go to WULFNation.com. Also follow them Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and all that fun stuff, and you will be part of Wolf Nation.
Don't lay that way.
All right. I want to tell you about another sponsor of this podcast, and that is DraftKings.com.
Scotty, the playoffs are here, man. I haven't done a lot of the fantasy football stuff.
Listen, the playoffs aren't here for everybody.
It is for one certain team.
Yeah.
Hail to the Redskins. Hail to them, Scotty. And I can go on DraftKings.com, and I can bring up Kirk Cousins and Deshaun Jackson and that amazing Washington Redskins defense.
You guys are so annoying. Your fans are drag queens.
We're longtime drag queens, man. The Hog Ets.
Yeah, whatever. But anyway, let's talk about something more important, DraftKings.com.
Nothing more important.
Opportunities to win big. Now, look, my fantasy team shit the bed.
Both. It happens.
Actually, this year in fantasy, I had the highest point total in the league, didn't make the playoffs.
Oh, my God.
How is that possible? Okay. How is it possible?
You blew your load in certain weeks, I suppose.
But all I know is that when you're not, like, I thought, hey, you know, I'm out of the fantasy. No, I'm not.
I know.
No, I'm not. Every day, you go to DraftKings.com, you can play fantasy sports. Not just football, Burlow. Listen, maybe you're not into football. Maybe you're not into football.
February, NASCAR, man. It's coming back.
Yeah, NASCAR. Yeah.
But there's also basketball.
There's basketball.
There's hockey.
Hockey. Go Devils. Woo, woo. And there's, what else is there? Fighting. There's MMA.
Yeah, UFC.
There's
UFC.
MMA. But there's all that stuff. So if you go to DraftKings right now and use the promo code Shenanigans.
What's going to happen?
Well, you might help this little podcast out. Help it out a little bit. And, you know, you get to enjoy everyday lives, sports, fantasy, playing. That's DraftKings.com.
Scott, I like helping, and I like this podcast, so I can't imagine anything better than this.
If you really like the podcast, you would quit. Let's talk about our other sponsor.
Scott?
Other sponsor. You've heard him on the podcast, Don Bagnato, but he's also the director of an independent film called A Convenient Truth.
Great movie.
Great movie. Now, listen, people. One less beer. One less beer this month.
One less time.
You know, you go to a bar, bang, $6. Bang, $7. Bang, $8 sometimes for a beer. Okay? Instead, wouldn't you like to use that money to support a independent film, something that is going to go towards someone who put a lot of effort in trying to make a film? Anyway, you can buy A Convenient Truth, okay, right now, Burlow, right now, okay?
This minute,
okay? You could buy the deluxe package for $7.49. Burlow, you spent that on Funyuns on the way down.
Well, I love my Funyuns. It's a lovely onion fried taste, and it was delicious, but this offer sounds a lot better. Tell me more.
Yeah, could you do without your two bags of ginormous Costco-sized Funyuns for the month?
Well, it was actually four, but I think I can put it down to two.
Deluxe package. You will get for $7.49. Now, if you enter the promo code Shenanigans, you get it for $7.49.
Okay.
Or you could just get the movie for $6.49. $6.49 to support local film.
Wow. I mean, let's look back at her year, man. A.J. Mattioli, mm-hmm. the Cinema Snob, mm-hmm. Greg Oliver. Look at all these independent filmmakers and, of course, the great Tom Bagnata.
So you get 50% off if you enter the promo code Shenanigans right now. And where do you go? Where do you go? You go to www.pornhub.com. www.contruthmovie.com. That's www.contruthmovie.com. Watch A Convenient Truth right now.
I'm doing it right now, buddy.
The last thing, bro. The last thing before we get to this podcast. I'm so excited.
You are.
Last thing. I just want to promote. It is a Trivia Revolution. Trivia Revolution. All over New Jersey. And the best thing about Trivia Revolution is it's we're aligned with the craft beer movement and the microbreweries in New Jersey.
We could take over the world with these people.
So if you want to check it out, go to Trivia Revolution on Instagram. Go play some trivia at all the bars. And yours truly, this guy right here.
Who are you pointing at, Scott?
Me.
The Wall?
I will host every Tuesday night at the Paragon Tap and Table in Clark.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
I got mail. Yay.
Another year down the tubes. Another year. But that's all right. Another year on the horizon for us.
Yeah, accomplished a lot in 2015 on this little podcast.
Yes, yes. So, again, welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. And hope you guys are not too hungover. Hope you're hitting the gym for your New Year's resolution and your diet's going well and whatever else you got planned.
You stopped stalking those people as you promised the cops?
Yeah, well, you promised that last year for your New Year's resolution.
You know, New Year's resolutions are hard to hold on to, so.
Yeah, but you lasted 3 days.
What can I say? I like being naked in bushes.
Yeah. Well, you better start getting naked pretty soon. Well, or you should get in your fluorescent thong and start marching around your apartment complex very soon.
I know, man. I got to take you down and get that fabulous dinner and drinks.
You know, so if you don't know what I'm referring to, if you go back to the last episode, Berlo and I are having what we call the Shenanigans Showdown. Now, as cheesy as that sounds, okay, basically it's a game where we got to get a lot of points and do a lot of stupid shit, and we're going to kind of keep score as we go. And those things, basically, you need to show proof to earn the points, okay? And those things range from jumping in water or eating a olive loaf on Periscope to you name it, okay? It's up there, and it'll be on. Check our Facebook page. It's all up there. So, you look like you have something to say.
Well, I got one question. I was looking over my list. Now, strip clubs don't allow you to bring in, like, camera phones or anything like that. So how would I prove the whole giving a male stripper a dollar?
Who said it had to happen at a strip club?
Ah.
You may need to have some private a private party.
That sounds worse, actually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So who's flipping the bill in that scenario?
I don't know. You might need to figure this one out. Maybe I have to take a picture with him or go, I don't know. You'll figure that one out.
Proof. I guess so.
I mean, you could interview the guy and he could tell you that. Say that, yeah, you put a dollar in his pants with your teeth.
I don't think I want to put a dollar
down a male stripper's thong and then be like, can I have your number?
Why?
Talk to you later.
Why?
There might be some things he figures I'd want afterwards.
Why wouldn't you? Since when have you said no?
I mean, I know a lot of people like say you're supposed to say yes to everything, but I think some things should stay as like a maybe or let me think about it or possibly down the road.
Well, we'll see what happens there. But yeah, so that look, we'll kind of recap. I ordered a I'm now a man of the cloth, Berlu.
Really?
Yes, I am a man of the cloth.
You're ready for that rapture. Good for you.
No, I'm not ready. Well, I might be able to help people avoid the rapture spiritually, but I am now sanctioned to marry people. To marry people.
Well. All you gotta do is get that couple, and that's 50 points.
Yeah, well, maybe later I'll read some. Maybe I'll read some passages from my book, and we can practice a little bit. I hope you're practicing. We didn't start the fire, or it's the end of the world as we know it.
I haven't yet, but I figure I could wing it good enough.
Well, maybe at the end of the show we'll give it a whirl and see how you're doing for the week
is
one.
Considering I haven't looked at it once.
Well, that'd be good. At the end of the year.
Berlu, perfect. And you never even heard the song before.
At the end of the year, we could piece them all together and see how you've evolved. but yes, another year has started. My year was tumultuous, I guess you can say, in some ways. But as far as podcasts, a lot of great things happened, obviously. It was basically what I would call the first year of really... really trying to push it and do different things with it. Obviously, all the guests we've had on are quite an accomplishment. I think the quality of the program's gotten a whole lot better. Everything from the actual programming to the sound of the program. We're no longer using toilet paper rolls to hold your microphone.
Yeah, I actually put that down as a flaw.
You kind of missed it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm like old school. I figure Walter Cronkite, when he was doing the news, had it out of a toilet paper tube.
So, what was your favorite moment? Your favorite moment for the podcast this year?
Favorite moment?
You can name a couple, but...
I mean, obviously... to meet Trevor Bayne and all the associations with the great people over Pocono Raceway, going down to the Indy race, kind of learning about that craft right there. Sharon Alexander, meeting her, that was obviously a wonderful surprise interview there.
Side note on that, I haven't even have it written down. We were supposed to have Sharon and Emmanuel Yarsborough on.
Yeah.
And he unfortunately passed away.
Yeah, 51 years old. Shame. He was a sumo wrestler. We found that he was actually one of the original UFC fighters. I mean, this was pre-Dana White. This was pretty much any kind of rules, if you will.
Yeah.
Those were the days where it's like, all right, if you beat this guy up, you got three more guys to go tonight.
Yeah, yeah. So no podcast with two sumo wrestlers. That was on the way, but
dare to dream. But
it's all right.
Could happen.
We can get Sharon back on.
Yeah, of course. Talk to pleasure.
You know, I'm missing her a little bit.
I know you got that little smirk on your face. I can tell.
I do love her. I do love.
You do realize if you propose to her that you could marry yourself to her and get the 50 points.
Can I be my own? Efficient?
I guess if you do it in front of a mirror, it would count.
Then that might get a lot.
I gotta think that's legal.
Yeah, I think so. You can marry yourself.
Yeah.
At this point, who the hell cares? You should be able to marry yourself. No one gives a shit. So you would say maybe Trevor Bayne was your fun
of the whole day itself. I mean, just to say, I shot up zombies and rolled water slides with a Daytona 500 winner. Not many people can say that.
No. That was a great day. That was an absolute great day. It's tough for me when I think back because there's a lot of different aspects to them that I enjoy. Like even like the Big Brew Fest. That was a whole lot of fun going to and being part of and obviously the beers and stuff, but also just kind of, that was our first live event, I think. I don't remember if Randy was before that or after that, but doesn't matter. That was like a big event. Like, there were a lot of different people, a lot of money. Now, the audio wasn't the greatest because it was so loud in there and whatnot, but that was a lot of fun. But then I think about talking to Trevor Bayne, Marcelo Balboa, which I really liked because that was like one of our little goals, and we got it rather quickly, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and we got to meet him afterwards.
Ended up getting to meet him. But then there's like a lot of the unknown, like people turn out to be great, like Open Biome, and you know, that's a, for those of you who don't know, that's a company that buys poo, okay, for research. And Teddy Roosevelt was a great one. He was the the U.S. soccer fan that
the Lumbercast.
The Lumberjack was great. Darren Hudson. So brought a lot of good moments. Biggest disappointment probably not getting Sean Kemp on after.
Well, technically, many getting tries. Him, then not getting him, then getting him, then not getting him.
Yes. Yes, I feel like one of his abandoned children.
Which one?
Little Sean, Deshaun. I'm guessing there might be a Deshaun.
Deshaun, I think he's 8. I'm not sure. We're going to have to look that up.
Yes, so hopefully if Sean's listening, which I'm sure he's not. Well, I'm sure he is, naturally. He's just waiting for the opportune time to
He's shy
because
he listens to our podcast. He's so fully entertained. He's like, I'm not sure if I can hang with those two guys. But, Sean, I'm just here to tell you, you can. Yeah. Me and Scott are friendly people. We'll gradually get you into the podcast, and everything will be great.
But overall, I mean, our listenership has definitely gone up, and our goal is to at least double that.
I'm almost near 6,000 tweets.
We're almost near as many tweets as we have listeners, total.
No, we got more than 5.
Yes, you're tweeting. What else this year? We did last the month of December.
Was
end
crazy.
Of November, like December was insane.
Just nonstop guests.
We were podcasting like twice a week. We were, you know, a lot of times we record intros after the fact because we would have two interviews lined up, so we would have to like kind of piece it together, and editing was a whole lot harder. And not that it's like a real big task, but it's like piece, you got to piece these things together to make any sense. But in the end, we met a lot of cool people. We got picked up by Hamilton Radio.
Yay!
Which details are not really out yet, so that's all I can really say. Hamilton Radio. I can't give you that many details on where exactly to go to listen to it. We're still working on that, or what time it's going to be on.
We're not really sure how you listen to this current one itself before Hamilton Radio.
No, I'm not even recording.
Wow. Why are we talking to ourselves?
You do it all the time.
Yeah, but, I mean, that guy's kind of cool because, you know, he's very intimidating.
No, like, nothing was better than when I passed you on the highway and you were in full. You were delivering some kind of monologue or performing stand-up or just arguing with yourself because it wasn't. It didn't seem like singing. You were, you weren't, like, you know, rocking out. It seemed like you were.
Maybe it was pissed. The end of the world as we know it.
Like you were, like you do. You know, sometimes some of your bits have a little bit of like anger, almost like what the hell, you know. So you were either doing that, or you were having a full out argument with yourself or the radio. Which was
I don't know. It's hard to say. There's been so many. It's a coin flip, really. Yeah, you know, I've been trying to do with, like, traffic. I mean, I've been getting, like, really aggravated with it. I've been trying to, like, listen to classic music to try to calm myself down.
Like classic, like Bach and Mozart?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, it's not helping that much. So there'd be, like, a concerto going on while me flipping out because somebody's
Fuck off!
Yeah.
Move it!
Move! That's great! Go! Dun, 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 dun. I'm gonna kill you. Move.
Yeah. That's it. So it's not working.
No.
I'm sorry. But maybe that's your resolution this year, to get your anger under control.
I don't know. Hulk gets pretty mad.
What do you mean? Like, how mad do you get in traffic?
I mean, I'm not like I'm going to start a fight with somebody, but I'm pretty much like, why the hell will you not get the hell out of my way if you're going to break?
Do you beep a lot?
No, no.
You contain it all in your bubble.
Yeah. My little bubble there.
Everything stays in the Mazda, right?
My fortress of anger. Superman has that fortress of solitude.
So really, nobody would know that you're mad. No. Because you don't really make it beep. You don't beep. You don't do flip the bird a lot.
Once in a while, I'll, like, give him the flash to be like, get the hell out of my way. The high beams.
Mm-hmm.
And That's about it. I mean, maybe get a little bit closer, but nothing where it's like, all right, if they tap their brake, I'm going to be in their back seat or anything like that. Yeah.
See, I'm a pretty relatively calm driver. I've definitely flipped the bird once or twice, but one time I was driving down Route 35. This was when I was in maybe high school or early college. And I'm driving down the road, and this guy swings across all four lanes, almost hits me. You know, and whatever. It goes on, and I beep at him, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm giving the finger. And we're approaching a light, and we stop at the light, and all of a sudden I see the guy get out of his car and, like, walking towards me in the middle of Route 35, which is four lanes and a middle lane where this so everyone's, like, beeping at him, like, get back in the car, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. He's walking towards me. And he's getting real close. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. You know, like, obviously this guy's a psycho. So naturally, I'm scared to death. Like, this is gonna be bad.
Mm-hmm.
So he's cursing and blah blah. And his car's parked in the middle of the road, Route 35. So luckily the light changes, and he goes to kick my bumper of my car, and I floor it, and he swung and missed. And he didn't fall. That would make the story great. But he did kind of, like, stumble and then hop back in his car.
Charlie Brown road rage.
But he just missed. He just missed. It was pretty intense. I was definitely scared for my life.
I'm trying to think if I had – I know one time, like, I was driving down a back road, and there was somebody in front of me, and it was, like, a 35. So, of course, they're going about 20. So I'm a little bit close to them, and I'm, like – kind of giving, like, you know, the hands in the air, like, what the hell, get going. And then I can see he's, like, flipping me off from in front of me, and I'm laughing my ass off. And then he puts on the blinker, and he's like, pointing at his mirror, and then he's pointing at the right-hand side, kind of like, come with me.
Like, pull over, let's do it.
Yeah, and he pulled into a 7-Eleven. I just kept on going. I'm like, screw it.
I think, like, once you get out of the car, it's gone way too far. You mm-hmm. know? Well, it's probably gone way too far before that, but that's, you know, if you're getting out of the car to fight, your road rage is a little hard. You like that cookie, buddy?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Whoever made it was a genius.
You got to remember, you have a hypersensitive, uh-huh. super-duper microphone, condenser microphone in front of you.
Oh, that's good.
Well, get your cookie intake out, because...
I'm going to get another one.
Yeah. It's guest time. Guest time.
Yeah, it's guest time. It's guest time. Verbal Shenanigans guest time. That's the end.
I'll isolate that clip and put it to, like,
I prefer the remix.
But yes,
guest time. Guest time.
Guest time. So a few weeks ago, we had Brian Duffy on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brian Duffy, chef extraordinaire. I may have seen him on Bar Rescue. And he's coming out with a podcast called Road Rash Podcast, okay, which we are also working with the group that's helping put together their podcast. So hopefully we'll be able to promote them soon. But he's another guy you may have seen on Bar Rescue, okay. Mixologist, okay, bartender, won tons of awards, and just an overall character. If you watch the show, you know, the guy is definitely...
Did he win the award for mixing items?
Yes.
Oh, that works out well for his career.
But coming on the show, professional mixologist, known...
asked some tough questions here.
All throughout the world. Mr. Russell Davis. These are always the tense moments.
Could it? Might it? Should it?
We will see. You just never know. I wonder how many of all these we've done that we've ever gotten on the first Skype attempt.
I think it has to go back to, like, our original ones.
Probably.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Mm. Please leave a message after the beep.
Russell, it's Scott Brennan, Verbal Shenanigans.
Hi, Russell. I got some vodka and gin, and I'm not sure really how to mix them together. So I heard you were, like, an ologist of mixing.
Yes, and if you could please teach my partner how to mix water and bleach. Anyway, I'll Skype you again in a minute. Yeah, so I would say we've probably hit...
I think Leon Rainbow was...
Maybe 10% of our Skype calls maybe have hit on the first try.
I mean, it was working as usual, and then just one day, it's kind of like, all right, we're dialing. Did you do it? Yeah, I don't hear anything. No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just part of a... he says I'm on, so let's try again.
How's it going, Scott? Can you hear me all right?
Ah, there he is, Russell Davis. How are you?
Very good. How am I sounding? I've got a podcast mic with me, but I'm not. I just got it, so I'm not sure if it's working right.
Are we gonna have to do IT work like we had to do
with Duffy? Yeah. Well,
Hopefully, I'm not that bad.
Go into options.
Well, we Skype with Brian Duffy, and the other day he's like. First, he's in bed doing the podcast, and then he's like, I'm like, Duffy, I can't hear you too well. He's like, oh, shit, I got to get out of bed and set my microphone up. So it was about 20 minutes of IT work before we even got to talk to the guy.
That's what you get to look forward to.
Why does that not surprise me at all?
No. But anyway, Russell, welcome to the show, and thank you for popping on for a little bit.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
We were just talking.
Honored.
Yeah, no, it's great. We were just talking. I mean, let's start in the present day stuff first. We were talking about how you guys have a podcast dropping in the next, what would you say, week? January 1st,
yeah,
I think you said?
Yeah, the podcast drops on January 1st. It's just snowballed into something that is becoming really amazing. It originally started out was going to be just Duffy and I trying to figure out. You know, we worked together on Bar Rescue, and we really hit it off together.
Was the original concept you and Duffy figuring out how to use a microphone?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's actually that's what the show would should be.
John Taffer would just walk in. What are you doing?
I mean, and you'd have at least 30 hours of content, at least,
or non-content.
But so you know, Duffy and I, we after the show, we both left the show to do our own projects, and we still wanted to work together, and we were trying to figure out ways to do it, and organically. Someone approached him about doing a podcast, and he called me. I was in Costa Rica at the time whenever I'm not filming or on project, I'm literally off the grid, like researching obscure drinking culture in the middle of nowhere. Nice. And he got in touch with me and said, let's do this podcast. And, you know, everything started coming together. And the next thing we knew, we had people partnering up with us. We've been able to bring in a great branding company, Relax Just Create.
Yes,
so they've been helping us put the branding together and the production value of it, and brought in a comic book artist, Maggie Gagliardi, who is creating a supplemental comic book that we'll be translating into multiple languages as well.
Yes.
So not only is the podcast going to be cool to listen to, which is all based around our eating, drinking, and going around the world and basically these crazy lives we live, but also have a comic book aspect to it that literally gives you the visuals and is able to translate in other languages so we can get this around the world. Anybody can have it.
Yeah, I've been talking to the Relax Just Create guys the last 2 weeks.
Awesome guys. Yeah. Awesome guys.
Yes, I've been talking to Rob over there about, you know, helping working with us and stuff like that, and definitely super nice guy. And I told him, when I saw the graphics that came out for your podcast, because we talked to Duffy, I guess it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago now, 3 weeks ago. And he, well, actually, I talked to him maybe like 2 months ago about, he was starting to talk about doing the podcast and needed some help with, you know, mic stuff and some advice and whatnot.
You're talking to him when he was freaking out about what the fuck to do with all this microphones and all this technology, which is stuff that we have no idea about.
Right. So I talked to him, and just like I guess it was maybe like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I saw the artwork for your podcast come out. I was like, holy shit, that looks fantastic. Whoever drew that or designed that, definitely got a nice like feeling, got a nice theme going, and
I'm talking about the artwork on the actual logos or the
both,
characters.
Both, cards. But the characters were the one that really got me, because you know the two of you, it's cool because you know the two of you have been seen on TV and whatnot, so it really kind of, I don't know, like oh shit, you know, like oh it's those two guys,
like...
you know, it looks like them.
Well, you know, it was great because you know, as we were doing this podcast stuff together and Relax Just Create was helping us with the branding, you know, Maggie had done some fan art on me that she had posted on Instagram from watching Unbar Rescue, and I had contacted her and I loved her art, and I was trying to figure out some way. I'm a huge comic book nerd, always was.
Nice.
I used to dress up as Cyclops from X-Men and go to comic book conventions while my dad was just ashamed of me, you know. And
yeah, I would be too. Cyclops of all X-Men.
Yeah. I mean, Cyclops was the coolest at the time. Now I'm Wolverine Man. who is? But you know, I figure out what I could do with her, and I wanted to do a comic book. And then as this podcast started coming together, you know, it just kind of clicked and wanted to use her, and what she's creative out of it was amazing. And we're really going after this. I don't know if you remember from the 90s, but there was this movie called Cool World. Does that sound better at all?
Try again. Talk again.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
I think you should just keep counting, maybe to like 100.
1,200. Then
yeah,
we'll 12, know. 12.
1,200 down. backwards.
Right.
Sorry about the technical difficulty.
I worked with Duffy, you know, like I'm used to it. God damn it!
What's with these Bar Rescue guys? It's like not one of them know anything about a computer or a microphone.
Okay, so I'm plugging in a mic on my actual phone.
Listen,
does this sound any better?
Yes. Verbal Shenanigans is done with Duffy and Davis. I mean, the technical difficulties.
What's that? I'm sorry?
I said Verbal Shenanigans.
I didn't have you guys turned up. I apologize.
Oh, I said Verbal Shenanigans is done with Davis and Duffy.
Over.
Just done with. Yep. The microphones.
Yeah, just fuck these guys.
Just screw these guys. How the hell are they going to do a weekly podcast?
You two are not professionals. And we command
I cannot work in this situation. Where's my trailer?
All right. So let's go back to where we were.
Yeah, we were talking about the movie Cool World. I remember that with Kim Basinger.
Awesome. Yeah. So, are you guys hearing me better now?
Oh, much better.
Yes.
Much better.
Okay, great. Yeah, so you know, whenever we were looking at these designs on this artwork, you know, there's this movie Cool World from the 90s that was Brad Pitt, and he gets dropped into basically a Roger Rabbit type scenario where a human gets dropped into this animated world. But it was much more dirty. It was much grittier, and it was these almost these Disney-like characters.
Didn't Paula Abdul
but not
do a
real,
song for that?
You know?
I know what you're talking about. I don't think that was a part. I know she sung a song with a cat.
Oh, maybe I'm just combining those.
But, you know, that's exactly what we were going with on these characters, because we want to create this, you know, we're going to be very real and upfront on this podcast, and we want these characters to, feel like Disney characters that are grittier, but we're handling content that is going to be very much adult. You know?
Yeah.
So this is going to be a very graphic comic book to that extent.
So is this comic book going to be like a one-time thing, or are you going to actually try to like make it happen over and over?
Yeah, it's actually going to happen every – we record the podcast every week, and we release it every Tuesday at 7 p.m., and then every month we'll release a volume of the comic book that pretty much overviews and gives you visuals of the podcast for that month.
That's awesome.
So it's basically the comic book will tell the stories of what we talk about on the podcast.
That's a fantastic idea. No, definitely looking forward to that.
I think our adventures should be in comic books, Scott.
Yeah, we had fan art drawn too, but it was just Mike's mom drawing pictures of him and telling him to come home, please.
Yeah, it was. My mom is wonderful with stick figures, and all she had the best Crayola crayons for it. That was amazing.
Yes.
That's awesome, because my mom actually sent me a pumpkin with a piece of paper that said "you" with a knife put through it and just left it on my doorstep. So that was much better work from you.
That was from me.
fuck you, mom.
Verbal shenanigans, Mother's Day special. Fuck you, mom.
But anyway, Russell, let's talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about you. First off, you're from Texas, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Born and bred Texas. I grew up on a 400-acre peach farm in a town of 80 people in East Texas.
So that explains the belt buckle.
Oh, yeah. Once I say that, explains a lot more than the belt buckle, I think.
I mean, you're a Cowboy fan?
I actually don't watch sports, which that's an interesting conversation.
You sure you're from Texas?
Duffy and I talk about a lot, because Duffy and I come across – well, we know enough about sports to be able to talk it in bars, I guess, sometimes, you know, but Duffy and I both come across these guys that know a lot about sports.
Right.
So we always have people coming up and talk to us about sports. And there's been many times that I'll have to look at somebody at a bar or something and just be like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Did you watch that American football game last night?
Exactly. It's kind of like I ride Harleys. I love Harleys.
Oh, yeah.
And I had this 06 Dyna Super Glide, and it was big and it was loud, 1584 PC engine. But quite frankly, I don't know as much about engines as other people do. I'd always have these riders pull up to me, and then ask me, you know, what I'd done.
Yeah, we're losing them again.
Hold on, we're losing you a little bit here.
Sorry about this connection.
Are you there?
Yep, I'm right here.
All right, so.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So I have these Harley riders ride up to me, and they'd ask me what kind of heat I was packing in this bike, and I just have to look at them and tell them, I have no idea, but it's loud and it's fast, so.
Tell me about your bike. You got two wheels.
Yeah, it's got two wheels, it's loud, fast, and sets off all the alarms behind me. So.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Russell, let's try reconnecting again. It's getting bad again.
Oh, no, not kidding. Let me see what I can do real quick. If it's not too much of a problem, I apologize for this. Let me see if I can reset this wireless system that's at the place I'm at, and maybe that'll help.
Yeah, no problem. Why don't you just Skype me when you're ready?
Okay, cool. We'll do so.
All right, great.
All right, now we have to fill time.
Oh, shit. That's why we have guests.
So, you got a VCR behind you, huh?
You like football? Football game was crazy last week.
Did you see where he scored it? He scored it good.
He hit the best home run in the game. It was great. I love.
So, Russell Davis, what's your thought on Scott in a Jai Lee event?
Oh, here we go. Hello, Russell Davis.
Hey there again. Tell me I'm sounding better this time.
Do you want me to tell you or lie to you?
Yeah.
You sound all right so far.
Yeah, so far, so good.
So far, so good until it fucks up again. Story of my life.
That's the shitty part about Skype sometimes or the cell phone. It's like, you know.
Maybe it's Costa Rican stuff, because remember when Kane Callis had the same problem with us?
Wait, you're in Costa Rica?
No, I'm actually in L.A. That's the weird thing is we were having this problem with Skype on our end recording the podcast this past couple of weeks. We're looking at other venues to record as well.
Yeah. Berlu just assumes
doesn't always work.
He brought up Costa Rica to start the interview.
No, Berlu just assumes that if you have technical problems, you're in Costa Rica because one guy.
Oh yeah. I'm in the rainforest of Costa Rica.
Sons
right
of
now,
bitches,
guys.
Every single one of them. But
anyway,
ma'am, I need you to hang up and get out of that country.
So Russell, you grew up in Texas in this small ass town, okay?
Yeah.
Texas boy. You said you grew up on a peach farm, you said?
Peach Farm, yeah. Had a variety of different fruits, but it had, for the most part, peaches, 3,000 peach trees.
3,000 peach trees. All right. 3,000. Do you still like peaches?
Yeah, I guess. I definitely love peaches. It's not my choice fruit because, I mean, I can tell you the smell of a peach from being green all the way to it rotting, you know? So it's one of those things that I love it. It's not my choice fruit, but, I mean, who doesn't love a good peach? Anyway?
Do you love the song Peaches from President of the United States of America?
Yeah, fuck. Do you know how many times I had to hear that in high school growing up from all my friends?
I get it, guys. Come on.
That was my very first CD. President of the United States of America.
I remember.
That and Dookie from Green Day. Those were my two first CDs.
Dookie was my first CD.
Well, President of the United States of America, they were amazing.
They
absolutely
were great.
Amazing. It was just that damn Peaches song. That damn Peaches song.
The guy played the three-string guitar.
Mm-hmm. The lump song.
She's lump. But anyway, so how do you go from little Texas boy growing? I'm sorry. I'm laughing a little bit. My dog just got a huge bone for Christmas, and he hides it all over the house. And right now he's hanging with his ass off the couch and driving the bone in between the cushions, pretending no one can see it.
Sounds like a smart dog to me.
Yeah. Oh, he's brilliant. But anyway, speaking of brilliant, how do you go from a country Texas boy to being a mixologist, to being a bar? First off, where does it start?
I mean, it's kind of crazy. I grew up in a Bible Belt town. You know, it's still a dry county. You know, they don't even allow alcohol sales. So bars, well, bartenders,
you're like the devil there, then.
Stuff. What's up?
You're like the devil there, then.
Oh, I absolutely am. I am doing the devil's work. Like my entire life, I would have thought, hey, I would have come back home to East Texas, and there would have been a big sign saying home of Russell Davis. But apparently, I probably didn't choose the line of work that the churches would have wanted me to.
No.
So I had, there's this mystique about bars and all this kind of stuff. And luckily I grew up in a Mexican family on my mom's side that had a chain of Mexican restaurants in Houston. And we would go up there as kids, and my family would get drunk, and all the little cousins would watch the bartenders make us like virgin daiquiris and all kinds of stuff. And that just intrigued me. I just loved watching that. And then when I saw Cocktail when I was 16, it just changed my life. And so I went to college at University of Texas, I went with the full intention of going there and getting a degree in theater and dance. But what I was really trying to do was just become a bartender. I was doing whatever I could to get a job to pay for college for bartending. Wow. I was studying all of the moves from Cocktail on VHS on slow-mo in my dorm room.
That's so funny, man. Yeah. That's so funny that Cocktail was like this big inspiration, you know?
I mean, that was it. I wanted to be Flanagan, you know? And
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's entertaining. Mm-hmm. But you're a boy from Texas who doesn't like sports, and Cocktail is your favorite movie. Something's going on.
Well, I wouldn't say it's my favorite movie. It was just the one that inspired
me. Right.
Yeah. But you know, and what's interesting about that too is after I got older and you actually read the book Cocktail, the book Cocktail is like this gritty version of the 1980s bar scene, and Flanagan is not a good guy. He's like a bad guy. And so it was very interesting to read those two dynamics and see how Michael Eisner made Haywood Gould, the author, rewrite that book like, you know, dozens of times just to make it more family friendly. So Haywood very much, don't get me wrong, he loves the movie Cocktail and what it's done. But at the same time, he won a Raspberry Award for worst screenplay, but still had this book, this beautiful, beautifully written book.
Wow. So he wrote the screenplay and the book?
Yeah, he wrote the screenplay and the book. Yeah, but to me, bartending was just this mystifying, amazing thing. And slowly, you know, I got a job working in security at this bar. Greek kid that just I couldn't talk to girls. I was nervous. I was literally just this big nerd that
I just couldn't do anything, you know. And
your girls like peaches.
Oh yeah, exactly. Girls like peaches. I couldn't even have gotten those words out to him. I would have gotten to you girls and then just locked up and started stuttering and walked away. And working security and working at this bar just kind of brought something out of me. And then the next thing I knew, the bar was really my stage, no longer that theater was. And I never pursued theater and dance out of college. And the bar industry became my thing. And I started bartending. I was good at it and kept on studying. And that's just how it kind of birthed into it. And it's grown ever since. And don't get me wrong, for the first 7 years of my career, I was that asshole, you know, volume bartender who's throwing bottles around and literally just thinks he's the hottest shit ever, and then realizing when the mixology revolution happened that I was really doing a lot of things wrong. But if I combined all of these talents together of craftsmanship, mixology, speed, showmanship, and also being that person that customers and really the mainstream wanted, man, that's the apogee of bartending, and I could kick ass that way. So that was my outlook on it.
Mm. Like, nobody would go in the bar in the early days because he kept on hitting people with bottles. Hit a woman, you couldn't talk to her.
Yeah, luckily, I only hit one person with a bottle and ended up being my first girlfriend that I dated for like 3 years. So
before or after?
Yeah, I, as far as I'm concerned, I just caveman style took a bottle to her head. She was mine for 3 years. So.
Nice.
So that's a secret. All right, I gotta try that out.
So now, where does it go from like yeah, you said like the cocktail thing, but where does it go from hey, like you know, this is a job, okay, this is a job, but where does it go to like bartending, especially, you know, especially I would imagine back then a little bit, like where do you see it going from like okay, I'm making decent money bartending, but is there a career in this? Like what is a guy's goals at that point in bartending? Cause like,
well, you know, it seems like everybody's goal in bartending, at least some point in their career, it seems like, if not their entire career, is to own their own bar and to own their own place. Right. And for, you know, for that first 7 or 8 years of my career, I thought that same thing. And you know, I was working sweat equity in one bar, you know, and had some concepts and was raising money to open up my own place. And then you start realizing, holy shit, you know, some bar owners are just some of the most miserable people there are. Most bar owners are. And I've also got this wild spirit in me that I never want that mortar liability of having something that I had to come back to, being married to a location. And I have a creativity about me that I need a little bit more of that outlet. So I remember one time I was working at Peche in Austin, Texas, and it was that first mixology bar that I really kind of dug into and got my first nominations with. And I remember overlooking this crowd and seeing this busy bar of people with handcrafted amazing cocktails. We're throwing bottles. Things are coming out fast. Everybody's happy. I mean, it was just the epitome of an amazing bar and what was going on. And that's when I realized that, you know, these things are popping up everywhere. And we can take this knowledge, us as bartenders or as barmen or as mixologists, we can take everything that we have learned in years and apply this to make this happen in other places. So as opposed to being the person that's going to go open this bar, I want to go in and help that person opening up the bar and make sure that it's done right, make sure it's successful. And I take my piece of the pie to make sure that I'm taken care of as well. And so essentially I help out as much as I possibly can. And whether they're failing, whether they're revamping, I'm better at helping really successful bars become more successful. But you know, I go in and realize that there's a big value in that, and people will cut checks for us to come in and not guarantee success, because no one can guarantee it, but come as close to it with our abilities as possible. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
No, it totally does.
Totally understand. You like peaches. Sure. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So let's go back to the peach farm. Do you eat them? Do you like them? Do you make juice out of them?
Peach shrimp. Peach jambalaya.
Now, go ahead, Brad.
When you're building your craft, how do you balance like your creativity with like the speed to need to get the drinks out? I mean, how do you kind of come up with a plan to do that, to do a show, and at the same time knowing you got a crowded bar and you got to get those drinks out?
I mean, that's half the fun, you know. I mean, a lot of it's going into the space and knowing whether or not even. You know, there's certain bars you'll go into and you'll say, okay, this is purely a speed bar. We need to make this just to pump out drinks and not worry about, you know, throwing bottles around and getting too much showmanship there. You know, sometimes you look at these bars and you go, okay, this is a showmanship bar. People are going to spend more money to see people throwing stuff around and don't necessarily need to pump the drinks out as fast. And then you get those places that are the high-end mixology bars that they specifically don't want things to come out fast in order to set a pace and to set an environment. And it's really going in and reading those situations and figuring out what that bar needs. Maybe it's all of it. Maybe it's some of it. Maybe it's none of it. And putting that into play. So every time I walk into any kind of consultation, any kind of bar, I try to walk in with an open mind and not have that decision already made. But at the end of the day, it's also trying to make the bar the most money as possible and make the owners happy with what they've created.
No, Russell, do you think like I see that flair stuff and I think it's amazing, but yeah. I also think it's more of a sideshow to the to the actual drink you're getting. I think the beauty is in the drink. I mean, I know you're like a master of before we did this interview, all this flair stuff. I don't see a lot of bars like that too much anymore. Is that kind of going away, or is that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's flair is very different, you know, on many different levels. You have a flair that's more of the bottle juggling style flair. Some people say there's style flair of European flair, American flair. Some people say describe it differently, but
I like Ric Flair.
Flair of seeming like a clown. Oh, sorry, what'd you say?
I said I like Ric Flair.
Yeah, woo!
That's all they do in North Carolina bars. They don't have any alcohol. They're just trying to go woo!
The Ric Flair bartenders, hands down the best.
but there's all this kind of type of flair, and I if you look at any of the stuff I did, you know, I was never one of those that was juggling bottles. I didn't want to feel like a clown, so I was never one of those. Not that flair bartenders that do juggle bottles are clowns. To me, I just didn't want to be that type. So all my flair is something called working flair, which is if I'm going to have to pass this tin from this hand to this hand anyway, might as well spin it, might as well stall it, might as well do whatever I can in between that's still just as fast and looks good. But I never, ever would stop speed of service to do something crazy unless it was something like blowing fire, which I did quite a bit of for a long time. So.
Now, where did you start gaining, like notoriety as like a bartender, and to where, you know, a lot of people do know you from Bar Rescue? Where did it go start to get to that point?
Well, it's interesting. When Bar Rescue called me, I kind of knew they were coming after me, because luckily I had been doing a lot of projects and making a decent name for myself in the industry as far as what I was doing. So at first it was Peche, whenever I started doing the mixology stuff in Texas, I became, you know, I got my first national ranking of top three in the country with the Nightclub and Bar Awards. And then I was president of the Texas chapter of the United States Bartenders Guild. I got another nomination again, won top three, but didn't win. I was competing up and down the circuit with different cocktail competitions, winning some. I never not placed. So I was always top three. So I was always getting that kind of recognition too. And then one day, Eric Castro, a good buddy of mine, who managed bars called Bourbon and Branch and Rick House in San Francisco, which are literally just some of the best bars in the world, have been ranked some of the best bars in the world. Bourbon Branch was one of the original speakeasies, just like Milk and Honey in New York. But he called me up and he said, come to San Francisco. I want you to come bartend. You know, you got 3 days to be here. I had never been to California. I packed my shit up and got there. I was there in 3 days and was back behind the bar training with Bourbon and Branch. And luckily, they took me over to Rick House, too, and I became a good staple bartender there. And at Rick House, we ended up winning top high volume cocktail. At the International Tales of the Cocktail Convention, and I won Bartender of the Year that year. And then it just so happened my consulting company opened up a project that got international attention and won a bunch of awards immediately, including some of my drink recipes. So it's like three things that happened real time that just kind of skyrocketed everything in 2012. And the next thing I know, you know, it's you know, magazine covers and, or articles and just doing a bunch of stuff like that. And Stell was going on the scene. I was still bartending a little bit, but at this point I haven't bartended in 3 years. Most people don't realize that.
Wow.
But this is when I was pulling out and becoming a consultant and doing brand work. But it was interesting because I would go to these cocktail conventions and I could hear people would talk about me as I was walking through a room. I'd hear people say, you know, that's him or that's Russell Davis. And I always thought that was kind of funny and kind of weird for a bartender to experience that. And then Bar Rescue called, and it was all over from there. So Bar Rescue just kind of amped up that game and brought me into a mainstream market. So,
did you meet Duffy on Bar Rescue, or did you know him before?
Yeah, I actually did meet Duffy on Bar Rescue, which is funny because we did a few episodes. We did a few episodes together, but it was a few episodes that I did before I actually finally met him. But the entire time, producers were saying, oh, we can't wait till Russell and Duffy meet each other. And it was just that. Whenever we met with each other, we kind of clicked. So.
Dreamweaver, I believe I can get you.
nice Wayne's World.
Thank you. Know what's funny about that movie? I grew up on that movie, and so young that a lot of the jokes didn't make sense.
Exactly.
So, like, I remember like reciting lines like "ribbed for her pleasure," ew, and not knowing what that meant, but laughing at it.
Garth got pubes. Oh, that's wonderful. What the hell is that?
Still one of the most underrated lines of that movie. My keys! Oh, my keys! Where he's doing the army crawl across the lawn and his keys are in his pocket.
Why do we even have a gun to necessitate a gun rack?
Yeah, well, I didn't even know a gun. And then that's it, a gun rack. Hi, Wayne! Hi! Game on! Anyway. Getting off topic here, but I'm okay with it because it's my favorite childhood movie, even though that's not everyone's childhood movie is Wayne's World.
You know what's weird about that is that there's people, you know, I don't know about how old you guys are. I'm 32 years old.
And I'm 31.
There's people that don't even know who fucking Wayne's World is anymore, and that just disgusts me.
It's sad, but you know what? There's people that were saying that about us when we didn't know who Abbott and Costello were, and then we found out.
Yeah. Well, I discuss myself anyway, so I'm fine with that.
I mean, nowadays it's like, well, Mike Myers. Oh, you mean Shrek? Yeah. And Dana Carvey.
It's true. It's true. It's true.
It's like, damn it.
So, Russell, Bar Rescue, good experience or so-so?
Yeah, no, Bar Rescue was a great experience for me. I mean, it was great for my career.
Right.
Especially the ones that I did. You know, one of my big things is I am genuinely trying to help, and that's it. We all are.
Right.
They don't try to produce us, but produce me, but they know they can't too. And luckily I had that freedom to be able to go in and be able to do a lot of things that I wanted to mm-hmm. do. They coddled a lot of the ideas that I wanted to coddle. It was fun to be part of that process of walking into a bar with John and a crew of producers and literally within a few hours just reconceptualize and know exactly what we were doing. And then over the course of 5 days, seeing all this go down, I mean, this thing is a machine. There's a this is a huge crew that's operating on this, and to see all these different moving parts working and everybody literally putting their heart and soul into doing it, it was a great experience on that level. But just like any great experience, it's time to move on. And right. that was absolutely. My time. You know, I have other projects that I want to work on. And on top of it all, it was time for me to really kind of kick that sidekick aspect. I've not ever felt that I was someone's sidekick for forever. Not that I ever felt like I was John's sidekick alone. You know, he has many people, experts, but I'm definitely someone that's more of that wants to be the figurehead. So,
well, you know, that's weird because when we interviewed Brian Duffy, he kept on referring to you as his sidekick.
Well,
he kept on saying, you know, I'm the Batman, he's the Robin. That's the only thing you need to know.
Yeah. Yeah,
is there anything you don't want to be called worse than Robin?
Robin doesn't have more Twitter followers than Batman.
Oh,
yeah.
Snap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, oh, you snap. Didn't.
I can't wait till a year from now we do the Verbal Shenanigans like beef off, like you two. You know, why'd the Road Rash podcast fail?
Did you see the poll that I won, but I guess I lost on the Road Rash pod. Also, at the @RoadRashPod Twitter site, we put up a poll to see who everybody wanted to do the next podcast naked, whether it would be Duffy, myself, or both of us.
Oh, please. I'm going with you a million times. I'm sorry, Duffy.
Yeah, Duffy came in hard with the 10%. Hard 10%.
I don't even want to know about the hard part.
I love you, Duffy.
I love you, Duffy, too.
You don't really know me, Duffy, but hi.
So, Russell, there's a couple things here going through my mind. First off, I know you probably get asked all these, like, woo, you know, like bar questions and whatnot. But
yeah,
I got a question. If you're like at a party and whatnot, does it get annoying to be like, that's my buddy Russell Davis, he'll make us all like crazy drinks, like go.
Oh, that's like 100% of the time what happens.
That's got
to
be the worst thing ever.
I just don't even go to parties, or I preface when I'm going to the parties, I'm like, I'm not gonna make it.
I mean, I do stand up, but like, you know, and it's like stand up comedy. It'd be like, you know, like, oh, it's the equivalent of people saying, hey, I had something funny at work happen today, you should put it in your act. Or the other night, I do like a trivia night. Like I work for this trivia company. The guy was running late. He's like, well, if you want to, you can just grab the mic and entertain them for 20 minutes. I'm like, oh my God. Like, yeah, because that's fun. Like, hey guys, it's me, douchebag in the corner. How you doing?
Because you went there to work.
This weather, am I right?
Yeah, I got that. I get that all the time too. It's like someone will be like, "Oh, you know, I have you ever had this, and this together?" And I'm like, "Well, no, I haven't. You should make that into a cocktail." Well, okay, I'll get right on that.
Turpentine and paint, amazing.
You tried first.
Just absolutely awesome.
What about your?
I'll get the. I'll get like. And this is no offense to my fans. Yeah, I love my fans. Please keep on posting up pictures of whatever you want. But
like us too.
I think it's funny.
Please, his fans like us too. Yeah. His fans, please like us too. His fans.
What's that?
Oh, nothing. I was just begging for your fans to like us.
I'll get these fans that will post you at a bar.
Hey, 10% of you who wants to see Duffy naked, come see us.
I'll get these posts on my Twitter feed, and it'll be someone that says, I just got my beer, and it's way too warm. Should I send this back? Can I send this back?
Oh, my God.
Am I allowed to send this back?
They want to, like, live tweet their drinks to you?
Listen, I know it's 3 weeks later, but you got to return that beer.
Like,
sorry, I was.
Wait, so they want you to like, they want you to like lifetime bartend for you them basically.
Well, I started to get funny with it too because I like to joke with it, you know, because I do get a lot of those questions of like, oh, what do you mix with bourbon? You know, and I'm like, oh,
you're like milk, always milk.
That's what I put. I said my mouth.
Yeah, See, I feel like that would be the most annoying things at party, like where you're trying to relax and like, Russell's here. We got whipped cream, pickle juice, peach schnapps, and bourbon in the fridge. Dude, Russell, you know you have to make it good because you're the best. Yeah. You're the best.
Oh, God. You couldn't have nailed it on the head. That's like, Russell, you make a drink out of anything. Hey, we got some candle wax. We got a napkin. We got some chewing gum. And we've got some vodka. What can you do with this?
Yeah. Bartender MacGyver.
Listen, we got a Budweiser, we got the juice from a ham, and we got this bottle of Schlitz my grandpa kept. Russell, come on! What are you, a pussy?
No, twirl the bottles, twirl the bottles.
Twirl the Schlitz.
Or just like being, or just be like standing in a bar and then just having that random drunk guy just wants to start yelling, shut it down, even though that's what I say. And but just for some reason, he sees me across the bar.
Oh, yeah, like a catchphrase.
All night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Will Ferrell must have felt like after old
Frank
school,
the Tank.
You're my boy Blue.
Oh, yeah. You're my boy Blue. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
I like the baby Jesus.
All right. Russell, I'm a huge I like to microbrew and do my own little beers and
awesome.
Stuff like that.
Awesome,
big craft brew guy.
Awesome.
Are you? I know you're mixed up, but are you really into craft beer too? Or
yeah, I you know, that's a hard question to answer to
right.
because I am into craft beer, but then there's been some craft brewers that could absolutely 100% just school me.
No, I don't. Really mean that per se. I mean, are you into the craft beer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm loving sours right now. I love sours. Yeah. I've been tracking down
this
sours.
Is really nice sour movement going sours. On right now too. Big time sour. Sours are coming back big time.
Oh, they're so amazing.
They are good.
And it's like the American palate is finally becoming educated.
Yep. You know what I love? Like, I've seen the videos. I've never been there yet. But how Allagash does the open fermentation on the big tables, like the old school tables, and they'll let it openly ferment in the big room. They do some nice stuff with like Brettanomyces
and
all that stuff.
They're literally malting it on big tables?
Yes. It's pretty, awesome. It's pretty awesome. But there's a lot of good sours out there. You know, occasionally there's one or two that I'm like, okay, this one's not great. But some of them.
I'll still drink it.
Some of them are. Well, yeah, that's pretty much everything from a PBR to a. You know. But what is your. What is your favorite craft brewery that you've been to? No, I know I have a lot too. Or maybe maybe one or two that you've been to. I hate to always tell people like name one right now. Do it now. You gotta name one. But I like a lot. No, you gotta name one.
A couple. No.
My favorite craft brewery. That's actually almost too good of a question.
Okay.
You know, and I hate to
we
like,
bring the heat.
Like,
it's like
hold it like this. But
it's like shitty Barbara Walters on the other line.
Oh yeah, almost all of them in Northern California around. I mean, are just ridiculously amazing at what they're doing. Charbet has been partnering up with some of them and creating whiskeys out of some of these craft beers that have been just ridiculous as well. So if I had to say one that I've been to.
Or just give me one that you really like. That's all.
Well, you know, there's one that I really, really do like that's just creating some cool stuff and has one of my favorite beers, but unfortunately I haven't been there, is the Goose Island stuff that they're doing with they do one that's called Sophia. That's an amazing, amazing sour. And
that's
I'm
a great one.
I'm
a little depressed at your answer, though. I'm not going to lie. Goose Island got bought out, man.
Yeah, well, it's specifically because of this beer.
Sophia is good though. Sophia.
Yeah, it's just it's they have Sophia, and then they have another one that's called it's escaping my mind. But it is sad that they are not necessarily a craft brewery anymore.
But
because
hopefully
they've been bought out,
the people are still in charge that do because they made a lot of good brews over the years.
Yeah, I mean the best craft breweries I've been in are the ones that are in some guy's garage that aren't even really true craft breweries.
Yeah,
let's be honest. Yeah,
I mean my favorite brewery to go to is Dogfish Head.
Dogfish Head is killer.
They're killer. I just was in the city the other day at Mario Batali's Italy, and now they do the Dogfish beers up top, and there's a couple beers I haven't had by them up there, and but I've been down to the tour. Down to the Dogfish Brewery a few times, and been following them for a long time, and I think Sam Calogione, who runs it, is just, I don't know, what he did when it came out. Now, of course, now people want to like, oh, you know, like, I think he's put out such great stuff and continues to only put out challenging and pushing the limit kind of stuff, and that's what I love about them.
Well, you know, and this is a hard question to answer, too, just because of the fact that the word craft has just gotten so bastardized that what would you even determine as being a craft brewery?
It's true.
You know? Lagunitas, I love them. I'd be willing to bet that some people wouldn't consider that a craft brewery anymore, you know?
Right. It's almost like if they're successful, then it's like, oh, well, no, you know. It's like a band.
Yeah, you're a sellout.
Yeah, a band. I liked them before they even played guitar. Come on.
Yeah. I love the Lagunitas Brewery. It was a great one to me. But if any of the craft breweries, this should have been a knee jerk, and I should have said this right off the bat. But Anchor Brewery is amazing. Anchor is doing, I used to be the brand basically the liquor ambassador for Anchor Distilling. So they were bringing in importing distilling products. But their brewery is just absolutely amazing. Their brewmasters are just killer. These guys have been around for forever. Mm-hmm. And you walk in this brewery, and it just smells like exactly what you want a brewery to smell like. It's just beautiful.
Oh, no, I was just going to bring up, but I know we were talking about Goose Island. When I was doing the Dogfish tour, they basically said Goose Island was Sam Adams and all. That's why it was a big hubbub about Sam Adams being a crap beer, because they basically
and didn't Goose Island get bought by Anheuser-Busch?
Yes.
Anheuser-Busch is basically buying everything right now.
Yeah. And then what is it? Miller and Anheuser-Busch just combined?
Crazy. Did the merger finally go?
I don't know.
Kept on pushing it back. I know that the end of October they're supposed to have final dates, but I mean, you're talking about a gigantic merger there.
But you know what? I think I don't know. I read the Dogfish like a couple books like when he came out and stuff like that. If you're a real like tiny craft brewer, you're not even worried about that. You're more worried about like getting customers in who like craft beer. You're not worried about competing with this conglomerate monster that you have no chance against. You're trying to get like a small, you want that small percent of the market.
Yeah, it's just this may or may not be a problem down the road. And the one thing that I would be worried about is where the distributors who are still distributing even these craft beers and distributing these big conglomerates, where they're going to be spending that money to actually get that out there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Let's shift gears real quick for a minute. As a bartender or someone who's surrounded by alcohol all the time, is it really
all the time?
No, all the time. Is it? I'm serious, because like I would have a problem. Like, is it hard to like keep the straight and narrow in business? You know, focusing on your career and business, and you know, not to get silly. You know, of course, I'm sure you partake every once in a while. But is it hard to not like, you know, drink and get sucked into this lifestyle?
Well, in all honesty, yes, it is very hard. It's not that hard for me, which a lot of people will argue with me about that, because they've seen me really silly. But what I do, and this is my balance in it, is, and I've done this for a reason, is I've always wanted to be a little different and really be this kind of character. When I go out, I'll go out and I will go get hammered, and I will go get smashed with people, and I will have fun, and I'll be wild and crazy Russell Davis. And that's the image that I portray as the bartender, as whatever I have to be. Because at the end of the day, all the celebrity chefs, there's mixologists, we're... But
hold on, can you say that sentence one more time? Because it cut out a minute.
Celebrity bartenders, celebrity mixologists, celebrity chefs, what we really are, we are characters. We really are. And we may be the same, you know, outside in public and inside, but to me, my balance is when I go out and I go to these events, yeah, I go out, I go get hammered. I will get smashed. I will get wild and I will have some fun.
Yep.
But I don't do that very often. When I do it, I make sure that I make a big enough splash that people think, oh God, Russell goes out all the time. But in actuality, I drink and go out maybe once or twice a month, three times a month sometimes. You know, there might be these times where it's more and I'm on product. But these days, my life really consists of conference calls, doing a lot of work, getting a lot of stuff together, a lot of traveling. And then when I do show up to these events, just getting smashed and having a
blast. We got to end this conference call, man, because I'm going to get fucked up tonight.
It's funny, like, you know, coming to the end here, but it's funny, like, you know, like trying to do the comedy and trying to make a name for yourself. Not even a name, but trying to get on bigger shows and stuff like that. Like the other night I had a set at a show and there was 12 comics on and I was 11th comic. Like it was way too many. And I'm at the bar and I'm drinking, having a couple beers and stuff like that. And I'm just waiting and waiting. So another beer comes out. And I went up and I just thought I was freaking terrible, you know, like because I'm just surrounded by alcohol. So I can't imagine my business being alcohol. And nightlife and partying and people who appreciate good drinks and not, you know,
and
not occasionally falling off the tightrope every once in a while.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really tough on and especially whenever you do become, you know, someone that I guess is well known in the industry as a mixologist or a bartender, because then you have liquor brands that are actually even coming to you, wanting you to drink their product or use their product or mix the product, and then you literally have a free endless river of booze that's coming to you, these ambassadors that actually work for these liquor companies that are the ones that fly around and push these liquor companies, you know, sometimes they have some really bad health issues because they're literally running themselves into the ground and through drinking, and It's actually something interesting that you'd bring this up too, because I'm going through this transition now where I'm not bartending. I am now trying to turn Unlimited Liabilities into a night lifestyle brand, and I'm getting older anyway myself, and I'm valuing things a little differently to where, you know, even myself, I'm starting to slow down and not really, even when I do go out, try to be that smashed guy on Green Chartreuse just creating the party anymore. I love the legend of that. I love that would be the legend of who I was, but now I'm very much in a metamorphosis myself of growing into a new figurehead what this industry needs to be. I want to be known as being the guy who earned his way by bartending and took bartending and everything learned behind the bar in the bar industry to new levels. But at the end of the day, I want to represent drinking culture and also bar entrepreneurship. I want to start as many businesses within the beverage culture, bartending, using this knowledge and show people that you can take this outside from what behind the bar and turn this into a living. Your body's going to go out sometime soon. I have a lot of respect for those people that can spend their entire lives behind the bar, but I never said that I wanted to do that. And there's too many things that can happen to our bodies, whether it be a torn ACL, whether it be breaking something that can end our careers in an instant. So I want to show the world that we need to start taking that seriously and taking bartending as a profession and what else we can do with it besides just being behind the stick.
Very nice.
That and peaches.
And peaches.
Those are the only two things.
And peaches.
The whole body thing and the peaches thing. That's the
and,
thing.
And peaches.
Okay. Now,
I fucking love mangoes, though, oddly enough.
Nah, don't even try it, man. Now, one thing I wanted to quickly ask you before you go, like, we talked about your competitions. Like, one thing I saw in, like, your information, you were in a competition where it was at Lush Life Production Humans versus Robot Bartenders. What the hell's up?
Yeah, that was a fun one.
You like? Did you face a Terminator, like making drinks?
Yeah, so they brought in all these Terminators, and I just had to fucking massacre those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what it was, is they brought me in, brought a bunch of Terminators in, and I just had to – they gave me a shaker tin and a bar blade and just told me to survive, and I did. So,
wow.
Yeah, they brought in a bunch of different robot bartenders that have been built by different crews. You know, some of them were scientists, some were from NASA, and then they brought in a bunch of human bartenders.
Wait, hold on. Back in a second. So, are the money that goes to NASA? Okay, now I love bartending and drinking like every person, but the NASA money is being used to construct a bartending robot.
No, just guys from NASA.
So oh. I thought you meant the official NASA booze robot.
We finally perfected the gin and tonic. Yeah. It cost $12 million.
Next thing you know, I'm going to get a desist letter from fucking NASA.
Cease and desist. You were like Bobby Fischer. Remember when Bobby Fischer had to play chess against robots?
Deep and Blue.
Exactly. It's like that. By the way, if I do get a cease and desist letter from NASA, that's going on Instagram instantly.
Oh, yeah. As long as it's not coming to our podcast.
Yeah.
But you guys.
Yeah, so it was literally just like that. They have humans go against the robots. And I beat all the humans and all the robots besides one robot, Cosmobot, which I think the crowd was – I think it was rigged. I'm not going to say it was rigged. Nothing's rigged. I'm not going to be that guy. But the crowd was very unhappy that was the one that won. So there was a controversy that I should have won that one.
Damn you, Skynet.
Make sure you tweet it. Hey, Cosmobot.
That was the moment I started hating Skynet.
Russell, first off, I can't thank you enough for the interview.
Fun time,
but
thanks for having me.
First things first. Tell us what you got going on right now. Like, what can your fans look forward to, and what can we do to check you out, and how can we get into touch with you? So, give us a little summary of what's going on in the present day, Russell Davis, the peach farmer.
And peaches for you and me.
I got my own peach lawn. I'm releasing it. It's called Russell's Great Peaches.
Just tweet me at peaches.com.
God, that would have to be my stripper name. It would have to be my stripper name.
Peaches Davis.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Mr. Russell Davis. As long as you remember that Russell has two S's and two L's. It's the only way to spell Russell. Russell Davis. Russell Davis is at Mr. Russell Davis is my Twitter, my Instagram. Facebook, you can find me at Mixologist Russell Davis. And tell you the truth, Twitter's the best way to find me because I am all over the place. Be expecting the Road Rash podcast to be coming out January 1st.
You still can't even. You guys can't expect the Road Rash iPod coming out. That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and announce it.
We work with Apple.
Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and announce it. Oh God, I'm just like racking up cease and desist letters on this fucking podcast.
God, you guys went from creating a podcast to getting a comic to having your own iPod. Damn, put an episode out first.
This is like three cease and desist letters I'm getting just from this one interview. So we got the Road Rash podcast coming out January 1st. It's going to be coming out every Tuesday. It's at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also got the Road Rash comic coming out with it also. We also got I've got a cool little thing called hashtag the bar is a stage, which I haven't talked about yet.
Oh, okay.
But just be ready for it because it's going to be pretty cool and it'll be launching in February. So. And just stay tuned for anything else because you're about to see Russell Davis come on screen quite a bit more.
Awesome. I like it. Russell, before you leave, can you give me a quick, hey, this is Russell Davis. You're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
Hey, guys, this is Russell Davis, and you are listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, guys. I'm honored and appreciate you guys.
There he went.
Wow. Are you there still? Oh, man. It's so funny because you just went, thank you, guys, and went.
That's one.
It's more than most of my friends get. I usually just don't even say goodbye. Just hang
up the phone. We're the lucky ones.
But seriously, Russell, I thought that was a fantastic event. I was only planning on going like a half hour, but it was fucking awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Rock and roll, guys. Thanks for having me on, and I'm honored. If you ever need anything, please let me know.
So. Yeah, I'd love to maybe check in on you like maybe sometime in the summer or something. Check in, see what, or if you got this new thing coming up, check in on
it. Yeah, if you get me in the summer, I got some really cool shit that'll be announced by then. So.
Awesome. Like I said, maybe spring, summer, we'll talk.
Awesome. Well, it was great talking to you guys, and thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much, Thank you, man. Enjoy the peaches.
Take care, boys. Enjoy the peaches. Fuck you.
Wow.
Loved that interview, buddy. Loved that.
Very much. I learned so much about peaches.
Learned a lot about peaches.
That's the only thing I took from this interview.
Yeah.
All that alcohol
stuff.
Did you catch
what he did for a living?
I think he sells tractors.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just assume someone from Texas. That's what they do.
Yeah, I don't know how Duffy knows the guy. He loves sports. I remember that.
He's a big Cowboy fan and he loves peaches. That's all I can remember. But again, thank you, Russell, and the guys at Relax Just Create. You guys, I'm very much looking forward to their podcast. I will put it on my my queue or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But real quick before we get going, I wanted to do this thing where I start talking about podcasts a little bit, okay? Because I'm not just a podcaster or whatever you want to call it. I am a humongous podcast fan, okay?
I would call you a podcastologist.
A podologist?
Yeah.
A podologist.
A polygamist.
No, I'm not a polygamist.
No?
No, I think that's...
No, that sounded right.
I think that's something a little bit different.
I don't know. I think I made it up.
But I'm going to... Now, I try to find new podcasts. I'm not going to go out on a limb and throw you some random ones, okay? Now, Serial is back on. Big shocker that it's... The first two episodes are very slow. The third one really picked off. It's about Bergdahl, the U.S., the soldier who left his post and got taken by the Taliban for, years and years and years, and he was considered a traitor, and it's kind of debating whether he's a traitor or not. Serial, it's done by NPR, so you know it's going to be good. Radiolab is done by NPR, all of them, Invisibilia. But the podcast I just want to recommend is the Pete and Sebastian Show.
Okay.
Sebastian Maniscalco, okay, awesome comedian, and then Pete Corielli, who also just had a Showtime special. One of my friends. I wish she was one of my friends. Can we hang, Pete? But I love the podcast. I actually made Sebastian Maniscalco's eggnog for Christmas. He said his grandma did it for years and years and years.
Okay.
You actually had some when you came to Christmas.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was pretty good. They put it from the podcast. They put their recipe on. It was a lot of work, man. I still think the egg is the most fascinating thing we can possibly eat. Think about how much you can do with an egg.
It's like
everything. It's amazing.
It's the easiest protein, and that's why a lot of people get mad when the prices go up because a lot of people depend on just that.
But just okay. Just ordering eggs. Just start there.
All right.
Ordering eggs. Over easy. Scrambled. Poached.
Soft poached.
Over hard. Over medium. Fried egg.
Soft boiled. Hard boiled.
Soft hard boiled. All those things. That's just the egg. Okay. Mm. Now it's baking. Now it's breading chicken. The thing is fantastic.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna promote on the week? I'm gonna promote the egg.
Yeah. You gotta love the incredible edible egg.
That eggnog was great, but
very good.
When you make 30 glasses of eggnog, you're pretty much pawning it off on everyone. Because how many eggnogs can you? I mean, you can't really have two Christmas Eve, two Christmas, something like that.
You can't really go into April like, hey, still got some.
You guys want to celebrate spring break with my eggnog.
Woo, woo, woo.
But, so I made that eggnog. But anyway, Pete and Sebastian Show, I think it's hilarious. They're both hilarious comedians. So that's my podcast pick of the week.
All right, cool.
I'm going to do that. Try to do that. Maybe not every week, but because that means after like 8 weeks, I'd be like, that's all my podcast that I listen to. Gotta go find more. But that's my podcast of the month. Okay, let's do of the month.
That's the eighth time you brought up Fernandez's podcast. I'm just gonna tell you.
Oh, yeah, those guys too. Now what podcast? We might have an extended episode tonight. What do we got here?
Let's play a little game. I was going to kind of bring it up with
Russell.
Russell, but I'd like you to figure out what kind of drink names that we got here.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, what do I got to do?
I'm going to tell you the ingredients. I'm going to give you multiple choice.
I got to pick the name of the drink.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right. Item number one is 2 ounces of Midori melon liqueur.
Midori?
Yeah.
Or Midori.
No, M-I-D-O-R-I.
Well, you said Midori when you said it.
Oh. Then it's both.
What's going to be more fun about this game is listening to you pronounce the alcohol.
Okay, the next one is 3 ounces of Vidka. No. 1 ounce of triple sec.
You ever have this Jack Daniels Bouar Bond?
Scott, stop making fun of me. I'm your co-host. 4 ounces of pineapple juice.
New Year's resolution. Okay, go ahead.
What was the last one?
Pineapple juice.
Okay. And 1 splash of Mountain Dew soda.
All right.
Is it A, Yabba Dabba Doo, B, Mountain Dew Me, C, Mountain Dew Looks Like a Lady, D, Mountain 1, 2, 3, 4.
What was B?
A was Yabba Dabba Doo. B was Mountain Dew Me. C was...
I'm going Mountain Dew Me B.
You are correct.
Yeah, baby! Ooh. He still got it! I don't know what I have.
You still got the drink naming mechanism?
Yeah. Title. Okay. 2016.
Oh, I guess when it comes out, when we're doing this in 2015, so I won't.
Shh, we already acknowledged it's New Year's.
Oh, yeah. Remember that crazy party we were at, man?
Don't tell him about the man behind the curtain.
But he's got a big head, and like Toto went back there, and he.
All right, next drink.
All right. 1/2 ounce of raspberry liqueur. 1 ounce of melon liqueur, 2 ounces of sweet and sour mix, and 1/2 ounce of Jägermeister. Is it A, sex with a leprechaun, B, sex with a frog, C, sex with an alligator, C, sex with a cobra?
Ooh. Can you read the ingredients again?
Sure. 1/2 ounce of raspberry liqueur.
I don't need the metrics of it.
All right. Raspberry liqueur, melon liqueur, sweet and sour mix, Jägermeister.
See, I can't see that being a leprechaun. All right, so it was leprechaun. Mm-hmm. Sex with the, give me the cobra.
Leprechaun, frog, alligator, cobra.
Frog.
I'm afraid it's sex with an alligator.
I knew something green. Damn it!
They were all technically.
Well, I know, but it wasn't leprechaun because that would be more of an Irish kind of drink, and there was nothing Irish in there. All right.
All right. 1 ounce of 1800 tequila, 1 ounce of vodka, 1 ounce of gin, 1 ounce of rum. Are we talking about a leg spreader, a muff diver, a rim job, or a sloppy second?
Let's go with a leg spreader.
You are correct.
Yeah, sir. Two out of three.
All right.
What are there, five?
I got a couple more. I did this whole list, but I just figured out the game. So, 4 ounces of rum, 1 can of root beer, 4 ounces of vodka. Are we talking about an Iraqi, Afghanistani, Turkish, or Syrian whore?
We're going to go with the Iraqi whore.
I'm afraid it's an Afghanistani whore.
I knew it was one of the two.
Yeah.
Damn it.
All right, I'll give you one more. 1 part whiskey, 1 part SoCo, 1 part raspberry liqueur, 1 part amaretto, splash of pineapple juice, splash of sour mix, and you shake with ice and strain in a shot glass. Am I talking about A, an orange Hawaiian ho train, B, a green Floridian jizz bucket, C, a yellow Idaho spud liquor, or D, a purple Alaskan thunderfuck?
Wow. That one took a left turn. Can you read the answers again? Just give me the last word of them. The Thunderfuck.
Okay. Florida Jizz Bucket. Hawaiian Ho Train. Idaho Spud Licker. Alaskan Thunderfuck.
I'm going to go with the Hawaiian Ho Train because that's the best name ever.
Well, thank you because I made it up. It's actually the Purple Alaskan Thunderfuck.
So I went under 500.
Yeah. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, Russell would be proud of me.
I don't think so.
No, probably not at all. But anyway.
He's probably screaming at his computer as he's listening to the episode. You thought it was what?
Well, I was going to talk about Star Wars a little bit.
Oh.
But, well, we got a couple minutes. Okay. I saw Star Wars for the second time today.
Oh.
And I'm sorry. If you're listening at this point and you haven't seen it.
You deserve it to be
You deserve
spoiled.
To be spoiled.
Yes.
Okay. Star Wars, Berlo, like it? Love it or hate it?
Love it as a Star Wars movie, like it as a movie.
I could probably agree with that. My whole thing on it is if I gave you, okay, you have this movie that you have to combine. Okay, hasn't been made in 30 years. The prequel sucked. You have to make a new story, but include old characters, mm-hmm. and it's also the first movie in this massive buyout by Disney.
Yeah,
and for it to be that good, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, we highly enjoyed it in the theaters. You, me, went to see it the first time. I snuck in beers for us to.
You did sneak in a beer. All of a sudden, you were like, "You want one?" I'm like, first I was like, "What is this?" And then you're like. I'm like, is that a beer? I think I literally asked you, is that beer?
No, that's an orange Hawaiian Ho Train.
That would be awesome if you brought Ho Trains to Star Wars.
Greatest movie of all time.
But I thought it was great. I thought the new characters were fantastic. I thought he did the right job of killing off a major character.
Mm-hmm.
He did the right job of... including the old characters, but not making it all about them.
Exactly.
Okay, keeping it, that old look with mostly practical effects, not a lot of CGI. It's funny because I went on YouTube the other day. I was looking up the third one, whatever it is.
Sith?
The Battle of the Sith Battles, with the clones yeah. of the North
clones
East.
Clones was the second one.
Northeast Battle of the Sith.
Yeah, it's going to Civil go down War. Tonight.
But anyway, I was like, how much CGI is in those movies? And I'm not a big CGI. I looked at it, I'm like, wow, I forgot how bad it was. Almost every scene is completely CGI.
And that's the good one of the second trilogy.
Yep. But overall, I loved it. Brian Quinn from Practical Jokers and Tell Him Steve, they brought up a funny point, though. You know, I love the movie. It's not going to change my opinion. But he was like, I hated it because... it basically ruined all the achievements of the first three Star Wars where they achieved this. And all of a sudden, Han Solo's a deadbeat dad. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a ship anymore.
Uh-huh.
Luke's on a mountain somewhere. you know, like, he has a point there. But like I told my brother today, if you're going to be that... what's the word I'm looking for? That critical, and you're not going to let anything go. Like, I look at people, well, how do you get this? How do you get Darth Vader's mask? I don't know. Maybe they'll explain it. If not, you want the movie to be 9 hours long, or are you going to just let some things start the new story?
I guess the best way to put it is it felt like a Star Wars movie. They basically had to establish the continuation in the series and basically say, screw you, original prequels.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. How anyone could be upset about it, I don't know. Could you say it's okay? Yeah, sure. Could you say it was great? Yeah. But how you could be like, oh, that was terrible? I have no idea what you expect. What do you want? Do you want a movie that's all like just throwing old things at you without starting a new story? Like, I thought it was a perfect balance, and we can get into more spoilers next time and talk about it a little bit more in depth. But
I love Jar Jar coming back. Man.
I love the Jar Jar killing Leia and then banging Luke.
Lisa don't like you.
I loved when Jar Jar banged Luke, though. That was awesome.
They're a lovely couple.
They were great.
The babies, man, they were so cute.
I love the new, you know, it's new age. Like, you know, they're proud. And you know what I said today? It was funny. I said,
nothing.
You know, there's a Han Solo movie. Han Solo movie coming out. Watch it be like the way things are nowadays. Be like, they'll cast him as like a black guy. Like Tyrese will play him. They'll be like, we don't see color. We don't see color in our roles. Han could be black. He could be any color you want.
I guess I would say that is the one thing I didn't like about the movie. No Lando Calrissian. Nor Lardo Calrissian.
How many people think that Finn is going to be Lando? I hope they don't. I hope they don't go there. Like, let's just.
Well, he's black, and it's a large universe.
Does everyone have to be someone's son and mom and this and that? All right. Berlo, anything to promote?
I'll just promote let's get my out of here page. Quick. Facebook.com/TheBurl721. That's my little page. I'll be returning to The Walking Dead tonight in The Walking Dead, and I'm sure I'll be coming up with new material to put up there.
Okay, and I want to promote a couple things. I would like to promote the Road Rash podcast because all three of those things have been great to us. All things. Brian Duffy, Russell Davis, and Relax Just Create have been great to us. So please, that probably came out a couple days ago, but listen to it. All sorts of good things going on. I'm always willing to listen to a podcast. And I want to promote Cezanne and Neckbone on D-Wild Music Radio. I was able to be on it the other day and promote the podcast a little bit. I was on with John Sweeney, and we had a great time, and they couldn't have treated us better. That's with Carlos Vera. Great comedian, and
I treated you. I wasn't on it.
Yeah, but. Well, I will be at the Crossroads, which is kind of a booked mic, in Garwood on the 14th, and the Station, which is a free show, down in Cranberry Mike Bonner's room, the 15th. So I don't think I can ask for anything else from today's show.
His favorite song. I remember how he talked about watching Cowboys games, listening to the song.
But here's what we need you to do, people. We need you to leave a review for us. Because what happens if you leave a good review? It doesn't have to be good. Just leave a review. Be honest. I don't care. But leave a review, and it helps us get more numbers. It helps populate into searches and things like that.
When you tell your friends you love this show and they're like, what the hell is this show? Now they won't have to ask you that question.
Yes. So please, leave a review, vote on Podcast Land, all that stuff. Let's do something fun. And we are excited for the new year. Lots of special guests, Tom. If you like tattoos, tune into the next couple weeks. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
And peaches in your mouth.
Love you, Russell.